how do I maintain proficiency and maintain my skills during periods of inactivity?
I have a couple of, they seem silly on the surface, but once you start thinking about it a little bit more, which I've had some time to think about it, it does make more sense. One of the first ones.
What are the best practices for night flying? How do you prepare for it?
Okay. Best practices? There's one that's really, really important. And it comes...
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight...
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everyone, to another amazing and awesome episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Today, we're going to be doing some more of the listener questions that we've been doing the last couple weeks. And
this feels really odd, Carson.
I know.
My thunder in the beginning of this.
I feel so off and like right is left and left is right. Down is up and up is down.
I know. At the end, I'm going to say as we wrap up for the day, it's going
to
be very odd.
I don't even know how to do this.
I know. See, it's weird when you do 200 episodes and the cadence goes well.
We can't.
All right, we'll reset this, and Mark's going to leave all this in. I can't wait. So again, welcome back, everybody, to an awesome and amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. That's how you do it, Carson.
Got
You're
it.
Supposed to slow
just,
down a little bit.
You have just, that's just great.
Thank you.
I could never do that.
Oh, I know. I mean, just, it's me. I get it. No, I'm just joking, everybody. I am, I'm more humble than that, even though I pretend on TV or on the podcast that I'm not.
You're really like one of the most humble people I know, except for like your close friends. Which, you know, you're yourself and it's just something else. But when you meet someone that you don't know, that's don't get a big head about this compliment.
I'm not going to.
Cool. Because it's about you not having a big head.
So, thanks.
Yeah, but you're just so like genuine, polite, and nice about things. And I'm thinking like all the times that you've met student pilots and you're great at making a student pilot know, like, feel like they know things, not like an idiot, which a lot of people just put other people down all the time.
Wow. This is weird getting a compliment from Carson. Thank you so much, Carson.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Appreciate you. Thank you. Yeah, you are right, though. I really enjoy seeing people succeed. Before we get into the episode today, we are going to do some listener questions like we've been doing the past few episodes. To that point, there are a lot of people that just put others down. And it's not just in podcast episodes. It's not in learning how to fly. It's not in learning finance or learning wine like I have a passion for. People just put other people down in general when they're doing better than them. And I hate that. My favorite thing is to uplift people. And if you just saw the uplifting you saw on video, I hope you got to see that. I just did like a very crazy reaction with uplifting. But I love to uplift people and I love to make people better than they were yesterday if I can help. And I don't want to force the help onto anybody. If they want the help and I can help, I want to help. And by the way, when people hand that helping hand to me, by the way, any billionaires listening, I want that helping hand, please. Just kidding. Well, not kidding, but serious, but kidding.
Half kidding.
Half kidding.
Yeah, there we go.
No, but it's good to give helping hands to other people and to really make sure that people succeed in all parts of life. So I hope that resonates through this with all of our joking and laughing and talking about pilots. And there's a reason why we picked the Aviation Mentors Podcast as our name of our podcast. We really want to help other aviation professionals, especially student pilots, become pilots and have somebody to look up to and have somebody to talk to and listen to and really get some great advice and great tidbits of information on becoming a pilot. So thank you again for listening to us. I know we say it every episode in the beginning of it, but that's truly how we feel. Outside of that, I wanted to touch on something that was near and dear to my heart. As you know, I fly quite often still, but somebody in this episode, boop, 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 Carson right over here. I hope that sound effect came in because I haven't used my soundboard in a little while. You know what? Maybe I got to bring that back.
No, we lost so many listeners after the last.
So the first question is, how do I maintain proficiency and maintain my skills during periods of inactivity?
I have a couple of, they seem silly on the surface, but once you start thinking about it a little bit more, which I've had some time to think about it, it does make more sense. One of the first ones, and we had this conversation a while ago about using a simulator and just using a simulator or even playing like Microsoft Flight Simulator.
It does help.
It does help when
a lot.
Yeah, when you're not just doing the up, left, right movements with a mouse and you're actually like looking at a cockpit, looking at different controls, that gets your head in the game more than nothing. And it keeps you fresh on how things should be working in a plane. And the other part is the talking. There's no rules that say you have to be on a radio to talk and act like you're talking to someone. Listening to live ATC is actually really helpful. Just understanding what's going on and just keeping fresh with that. And for some people that, you know, we're talking about last episode about how can you stay proficient with radios and be comfortable with them and understanding that ATC is just a person. Part of that is just learning the alphabet. Learning the phonetic alphabet is actually a huge thing. And I wasn't really comfortable with that until I started driving and just going through the basic ABCs. And when I saw someone's license plate, I would just read it out in the phonetic alphabet.
Does Carson know all the words?
Yeah. Do you want to test me right now?
I kind of do, actually. Okay. Well, all right, let's go. I got him up. Wow, he's throwing his glasses off and
glasses
everything.
Glasses off. Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Foxtrot, Golf, Hotel, India, Juliet, Kilo, Lima. What's after Lima?
I can't see.
I thought you were pulling up the phonetic alphabet. Mike, November, Oscar, Papa, Quebec, Romeo, Sierra, Tango, Uniform. What was that?
Victor.
X-ray, Yankee, Zulu.
There you go. Maybe you should put those glasses back on.
Yeah, I thought you were pulling up the phonetic alphabet, and I was like, I'm not going to cheat.
No, I was not going to let you cheat. I literally looked up the 27 letters of the American alphabet.
There's 26. How was it?
26? Well, to see how long it's been since I went to school.
That's tough.
Yeah, sorry, guys. 26 letters.
Yikes. Anyway, going through basic things like that, I mean, I got really comfortable with it because I didn't understand it until I was just driving around. I just started listing things off, and I would see how fast I could name it off, and that just became a, you know, core memory. So I pull from that every time I'm reading in the plane.
Honestly, when I was learning to fly, I used to listen to live ATC, and I would listen to big airplanes trying to talk IFR. And
that's not the one you should be listening to.
It was not. I mean, I was driving around all day long, and I was listening to like LAX and like, all these
what
weird.
What the heck is going on over there, dude?
I don't even understand any of this. Like, what, left runway, right runway.
And you become a private pilot, and you still don't understand half of it.
Precisely. Yeah.
That's the problem.
So I would say listen to an airport similar to the airport you're flying out of.
Yes. Listen to a Delta. Listen
or Charlie,
to
Charlie, depending where you're going.
Listen to a ground and get comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And then listen.
That's a good idea, actually. Listen to a ground first.
Yeah. Listen to a ground first.
Make sure you understand what's happening with the movement of the airplanes. And I would even look at a...
At a map of the airport.
Yeah. I would look at a airport diagram.
So that's what I used to do, because I'd be up in BYU in Provo, Utah. And there was Provo Airport right there, which was a small Delta airport. And they had very few commercial air flights at the time. They do now. They're huge. But I'd listen to that, and I would just watch on before flight and see where people are going and try and figure it out. And then after I was comfortable with what's happening with the ground, I would listen to clearance delivery. And then I would understand what's happening there and what the clearance means and how people read back and what you're supposed to read back and not read back. And I'd start applying all the things I was learning. And then I would listen to tower. Then I'd listen to approach and departure. And that's when I started getting to the IFR stuff that I didn't have any idea what was going on. But just keeping current with that, you're not going to be super current, like I like to say, but it'll keep you current still.
We haven't used that in a while, super current.
We have not, I know.
Yeah, Carson's not super current.
I'm not super current.
I need to go get you a BFR pretty soon.
I'm telling you, after you take that 182 out to Vegas, come back and pick me up.
By the way, I checked my logbook the other day. I felt like I was off for a little bit on my BFR, and I still have like another 9 or 10 months or something.
Oh, good for you.
I think it's
you.
Like next February. I got to double check. I checked it 2-3 weeks
ago. Did your
FERC
not count?
FERC does not count as a BFR.
Why doesn't it count as a BFR?
Wow, Carson put me on the spot. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, you're not doing any flying. Yeah, you're not doing flight training. All you're doing is ground, and all you're doing is training on what's new and upcoming for your flight instructor. So, well, we've already talked about the FERC and why FERC is not necessarily needed any longer to keep your flight instructor certificate valid and legal.
Go listen to our episode. I think it was 5 episodes ago now.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Not sure. That was one of our recent ones.
So outside of that, of just listening to ATC and try to maintain skills during periods of inactivity, I would also say chair flying works really, really well. I mean, just think about what it takes to take off, what it takes to land, what it even takes to taxi. Say everything out loud. Talk to other pilots about flying. I would even say go read chapters in the PHAC, Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge. Read chapters of the Airplane Flying Handbook. Or if you're going for a new rating, I mean, read the instrument books, things like that. I mean, that's always good stuff. As long as you're always being a better pilot, you're always studying. There's another thing, which is WINGS, FAA WINGS
program. Yeah.
Go check out that. By the way, we are working on something with them right now. Still a little bit under wraps, but I am trying to do something where our listeners might be able to get a little bit of credit on their WINGS program. long term. We'll see if that pans out or not, or takes off. I don't know.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I had to throw on the
aviation. We haven't had a lot of puns lately.
We have not. It's been pretty serious.
Yeah.
I mean, we laugh and all that.
You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's a brain.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
All right. Other than that, let's go on to the next thing. I'm not a big fan of night flying, but I know you
are. I love night flying.
I can do it. I like it sometimes. I don't know. I don't really love IFR. I don't love night. I love to see outside. I love to see where I'm going. And you're all in for this night flying thing.
I love night flying.
And some people love it like you, and some people are just like, I don't know, I'm indifferent. I'll do it, but I don't love it. If I had to choose, I'm going to go day flying versus night flying. So here's the question. What are the best practices for night flying? How do you prepare for it?
Okay. Best practices? There's one that's really, really important, and it comes lost. Don't get lost. That's the first one.
Wow. Novel advice.
No, but staying near places that you know, or staying near the freeways. That was probably the biggest piece of advice that really clicked for me with night flying.
Freeways that you know.
Or freeways you know or can identify. But here in Southern California, we have lots of freeways. And I like to think that most of us are pretty familiar with them. Just we have to navigate them all the time, and they're pretty confusing. So knowing what freeways you're looking at is helpful. But staying near the freeways is extremely helpful for a lot of reasons. For navigation, it's, you know, super easy. You know where you're at and you have a rough idea of your surroundings. Also, if anything were to happen, that's the place to land. You can see all the lights. You know the terrain. You know it's going to be flat and it's going to be straight. It's life-changing. Life-saving, really.
I would agree. I would also say know where your lights are oriented. Green is on what side, Carson?
Right.
Okay. Red is on?
The left.
And white is in? The back. It's on your tail. White is on your tail.
Oh, I was thinking my front, my landing light.
Oh, you do have a landing light sometimes too as well.
Okay. Or wing lights.
But I would know because you want to know if planes are coming towards you or away from you.
Yeah, that's...
You want to be able to identify by lights on aircraft.
It's also a confusing concept when you first hear about that. You know, it should be simple the way it sounds. But then there's actually really helpful diagrams that break this all down, the PHAC. Mm-hmm. That's what made sense for me because I remember seeing... You know, we see green go right to left. What does that mean? That's a question on the written too a lot of times.
And what's interesting is none of that made any sense to me. I literally had to like draw out what an airplane looked like and then have it on a piece of paper and have it
and
fly
start,
towards
start
me
turning
and against
it.
And turn it.
Yeah, the diagrams, once you see them and you just kind of, you have to memorize them. Some things you have to memorize.
It was the same thing like VORs. I couldn't understand VORs when I was doing that. And then I finally understood like, hey, if there's a VOR right here and I'm flying here and I'm going to it, I'm going to a station. If I'm over here and the VOR is behind me, I'm going from a station. And different things like that. I mean, the same stuff happens with lights being red and white or red, white, and green on different angles. You can figure out where airplanes are at, which I think are really important for night flying. Besides just being night current and doing those three takeoffs and landings prior to taking any passengers up, you really want to know what that sight picture looks like because sometimes you'll flare a little too early. It'll look like you're a little closer to the ground than you are.
And Riverside's a little bit interesting for it because it has a slight hump, but just enough that it can mess with someone who's new to the airport or new to the area.
I don't know how many feet, but it's like 5 feet or something. It's ridiculous.
I mean, I heard that, you know, if you change the steps on a set of stairs, if you change one of them like 2 millimeters, it's enough to trip a person. It's the same thing. You just get in the habit of your sight picture and a runway should be completely flat.
Yeah.
So it's a little silly. But we were just talking to someone the other day who was telling us about how much they knew about aviation. And they told us something about the clicks. And that corresponding to the mic clicks corresponding to turning on the lights on the runway?
It does.
I don't remember who it was, but that's another thing that's really important to know. 3 clicks for what?
Turns at high intensity.
5 is what?
You know what? I think 5 is high intensity, and I think 3 is mid.
Ooh.
All right, Carson. I figured it out based on Google because I haven't taught this in a while. Three clicks are low intensity, five clicks are medium intensity, and seven clicks are high intensity. And these should be done within a short period, usually within 5 seconds. And this is all for pilot controlled lighting on the CTAF frequency of your local airport.
Look at you go.
As long as, and I'm not reading the rest of that, by the way, that's me off of knowledge. I just had to have the 3, 5, and 7 off the top of my head. And this is for airports that have pilot controlled lighting. So you have to look and see on your map, is there a little L on each individual?
But it can be tricky if you're looking for an airport and there are no runway lights. That can be really confusing. But knowing what the beacon is, where the beacon's located on an airport, which I think is one of the most important things, looking at AirNav or ForeFlight or whatever you need to do, wherever you're going, give it a shot and check out where exactly that beacon is on the airport. That'll give you a better idea about your orientation, the runway orientation, where you're looking at.
Big time. And just a reminder, if it has an L in there, like right here at Long Beach, LGB, what does that mean?
This is a good one. If it has just an L, it is continuous lighting.
Okay. And if it has a little asterisk next to the L, such as Riverside, what does it mean?
It looks like it has a little star right before it. It means that there's pilot controlled lighting.
Affirmative. That is correct. Look at me
go. No coaching needed.
Yep, exactly. So that was the end of our little flight instructor lesson for the day.
I know. That felt like a ground lesson for a second.
It did feel like a ground lesson. So outside of that, I want to talk about something fun for a second, then we can close up the episode.
Okay.
Why do you like flying at night? I mean, I like being able to see things. Truly.
Well, we live in Southern California. Not every part of it's pretty. So I like not being able to see things.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of true.
No, I mean, it's really serene being up there. You know, it's pitch black to your left because there's ocean there. Pitch black above you. It's the sky. Pitch black ahead of you because there's mountains. And, you know, I live in Corona, so I'm surrounded by mountains. But it makes every part of the ground look beautiful. You have lights all over the place. And those lights just, I don't know, there's just something about it. It's really surreal.
You know, it's an interesting thing. If you go look at a sectional, let's just say of LA or Dallas or wherever, and you're flying kind of high, and you look at the outline of the yellow, it actually means like high density areas where people are located. But it actually coincides almost identically with where lights are at in the area. So if you're flying really high over somewhere in the middle of the country, you can normally look at a sectional and be like, oh, wow, that outline of Dallas or that outline of Los Angeles or that outline of Seattle of the yellow on your sectional looks just like what it looks like outside.
It's really weird.
It's a trip.
It makes sense when you know, it yellow feels like light. Common sense, right? Yeah. Yellow equals light. But the way that it's outlined so perfectly is that part really is a trip. I mean, yeah. But not only that, night flying is amazing because there's not as many people out there because people like Brandon don't like to fly at night.
That is true.
So, you know, you can get flight following really easy. You can talk to ATC or you can have great experiences.
All right, everybody. Well, I hope you enjoyed our episode today. I know we got a little flight instructory on this one, but it was kind of fun talking about night flying and pilot controlled lighting and how to read aeronautical charts and things like that, which is something I absolutely love.
Do I have to pay you for this ground lesson?
Of course you do.
Why would I even ask?
You know what? Can I have some money right now? Do you have any cash on you, Carson?
Actually, you know
I'm
what?
Hoping you do. I'm going to keep my hand here and you can pay up.
I got a five.
You know what? That's a good tip. I'll take that and I'll bill you. I'll bill you for the 30 minutes of ground instructor.
That was 30 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, it was 23. I round up to 30.
Wait, that's do I have to back pay for all purposes?
Absolutely. So outside of that, you always know if you'd like to reach out to either one of us, you can reach us on our emails, Brandon@AviationMentors.com, or for Carson, it's Carson@AviationMentors.com. Of course, our wonderful producer, Mark, it is producer@AviationMentors.com. Please don't forget to hit like, follow, subscribe, share, all of the wonderful things that you can do on social media, and of course, YouTube, on whatever streaming platform you are listening or watching us on. It's really a huge part of helping us grow our podcast community and even more importantly, helping us grow the Avius community at large. So we really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And Brandon, catch your breath. I think that was all in one breath. That was impressive. Not to mention a very impressive segue.
Thank you.
So I'm very proud of you for that one. But for everyone else, as a wrap up for the day, remember, we're here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See y'all.